Hello and welcome to the Fun Kids Bookworms podcast. My name is Bex and I love books, and that's pretty much all you need to know, really. On today's show, I'll be talking to Natalie Seema about her new book, Opie Jones. But first, shall we check in with Maz Evans?
I'm joined right now, down the line, by Maz Evans, author of Vice Buy, License to Chill, also formerly of the Who Let the Gods Out series as well. Hey, Maz, how you doing?
Hello! Although I'm a little worried. That makes it sound like I've been fired from my last book. You know, we just agreed to separate and pursue different courses, you know, as perfectly amicable.
Yeah. As I said it, formerly of it. Sorry, I feel like I've brought you into this repeat there.
Right, no, you haven't done that, Bex. I've done that perfectly well on my own. Don't, that one is not on you, my friend. It's lovely to be here again. Lovely to be on Fun Kids.
Oh, it's a dream to have you on. Now, I love your book, Vice Buy. I was genuinely really excited about it. So when I got a copy, I was honestly, as you know, I tweeted you about it because I was like, it's here, it's here, because I'd seen you tweeting it. And first of all, I know we shouldn't judge books by their cover, but it just looks really fun.
Please, if I can ask your listeners to do one thing, please always judge my books by their cover, because the covers are done by the really clever people in the process. The illustrator, this book's illustrated by the gorgeous Jez Toyer, who's done the most fantastic job, and my publishers who do all stuff. It's when you get inside the problems start, because then it's over to me. But please always judge my books by the covers, because the covers are fantastic. So I'm so, and it's embossed. It sticks out a bit, and it's got a spy hole, which I can't tell you how much excitement that's given me.
It's, and also on the back, speaking of covers, we should say you've got a little thing of the book in three words. You've put thrilling, family and funny, and it lives up to those three words, I have to say.
You're very kind, thank you. I'm so pleased. That's what I aspire to, frankly, in life and in art, to be thrilling, look after my family and occasionally be funny. So I'm very pleased the book has achieved it, even if I'm not at the moment.
Oh man, tick, tick, tick. It's such a good book. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about Vi and the interesting life she's beginning to lead?
I certainly can. So Vi is short for Valentine. Valentine Day is our hero. And Valentine is my sort of girl. She's feisty and she's funny. She's a bit cheeky, bit naughty. She doesn't always walk on the side of the angels, but certainly I don't, so I'm not going to be judging anyone for that. And Vi has lived 11 happy years with her mum Easter and her nan Indy. They're all the Day family, so she's Valentine Day, her mum's Easter Day, and her gran is Indy Day, Independence Day. And as we start the book, Vi is deeply suspicious, correctly it turns out, that her mum Easter is or was a spy. She's, unfortunately, as all spies are, not very good at keeping this a secret, because she can't quite help herself but just like do spy stuff all of the time. So as we open the novel, Vi decides it's time to challenge Mum about this and find out once and for all if Mum is indeed a spy. And she was. She was a great spy, a super spy for an agency called Spider. But as is often the way with we mums, once she had a baby, she decided to change course a little bit because this was quite a dangerous career. And she's kind of swung the other way, Easter. She's now super overprotective and really doesn't want Vi to do very much at all. Certainly not become a spy, which of course is then the thing that Vi wants most in the whole wide world, to become a spy. So as far as Vi's aware when we meet her, her father, Robert, was also a spy. And he died, as everyone says, as he would have wanted, defusing a nuclear a missile in space when she was just a baby. So yeah, it's the fitting end. So when we start, Easter is just about to get remarried, in fact, to George Sprout, who is Vi's very lovely, slightly dull, but very lovely form teacher. And he brings with him a son, Russell. Russell Sprout is about to become Vi's stepbrother, and she's not terribly thrilled about this. Russell is the school's like uber geek who's into robots and tech, and that's not Vi's kind of scene at all. So she's not sort of terribly pleased about all of this. But things take a bit of a stranger turn when on Easter and George's wedding day, there is indeed a lawful objection, and it comes from Robert, Vi's dad, who it turns out is not dead at all, was never a spy, and is in fact, as he claims, a reformed supervillain. He is the world's second worst supervillain, but he says he's left all that behind and he's changed his ways, and he wants to get to know Vi because he hasn't known her since she was a baby. And if Easter won't let him do that, then he won't give her the divorce that she needs to marry George, because on a slight technicality, they never actually got divorced. So Vi is thrown into this situation where she is the child of a divorcing super spy and super villain. And yeah, anyone who's experienced divorce like me knows it can be pretty challenging and messy at the best of times. But when your parents have got bazookas in their airing cupboards, you know, literally anything could happen at any moment. So it's a book really about, you know, what happens when families change shape and how you find your way through it.
Yeah, she's kind of fighting this on two... By the way, that was an excellent introduction to it. I mean, if anybody's listening right now and they don't want to read it, what's wrong with you? Because that's
yeah, mum, what's wrong with you? Come on.
But yeah, so she's kind of fighting this war on two fronts. First of all, on a kind of like normal person level, she's got her parents who are kind of back... Her dad's back in her life. Yep. But on the other level, she's got all this spy stuff going on and she's just desperate to be a spy.
Well, that's it. And Umbra, who is the world's worst supervillain and Robert's former boss, Robert's villain name is Sir Charge. So Sir Charge was Umbra's number two, which of course gives me, who loves a poo joke, any number of fun. But Umbra also is around. Easter was under the impression that she had eliminated Umbra just shortly before she retired. But no, Umbra has been lurking in the shadows and is back and is trying to take over the world with this horrible device called a Neurotrol, which manipulates people's brainwaves into doing whatever you tell them to do. So, you know, robbing people of all their choice and free will and making them do whatever, you know, whoever's in control of the Neurotrol wants them to do. So Vi, finding out about this, sees it as an opportunity to prove her spy chops, you know, to prove that she can be a spy and prove to her mum and prove to everybody that she's kind of got what it takes to go to Ribbington Hall, which is the big school for spies that mum is forbidding her to attend. So Vi, who is 11, decides, along with Russell's help, who's like, you know, trainee Q, he's got all the tech, that she's going to take on the world's biggest supervillain and prove to everybody she has what it takes to be a spy. And, you know, she's got school and bullies and, you know, homework and all of that stuff to attend to as well. So she's got a lot on her plate as young Vi.
Two things that did stand out. First of all, the former spies, should we say, that have been kicked out of the...
Absolutely. The Silver Service.
Oh, so, the Silver Service.
It turns out that the whole family's in on this gig. So Vi is actually descended from a long line of female spies. So her granny, Indy Day, was a cryptologist. She breaks codes and things like that. And unfortunately, Spider, the organisation, they throw their spies out when they're 70 into sort of forced retirement. So they formed their own organisation based at Nan's nursing home called the Silver Service. And it turns out that sort of when everyone's backs turns and they think they're playing whist and having a nap, actually they've got surveillance systems and various weapons hidden around the place and, you know, high-tech computer systems hidden in the snakes and ladders. So yes, she sort of discovers this whole network of over 70 spies who, you know, are old school and kind of actually, you know, show where some of the tech is lacking sometimes with their old school spy techniques.
I loved them. I also loved, you have a way with jokes that, it's. I think the book is one of those ones where you could reread it and find jokes that you hadn't found the first time. Or like,
I hope so.
Little acronyms like the Ex-Villain Improvement League. I really enjoyed that.
I love that.
You're very good at naming things and just making it, and if you think about it twice, like Russell Sprout, you're like, oh yeah, it's pretty fun.
It is one of my great joys, but it's an awesome responsibility, like naming a child. And you think, I'm saddling these characters with this. But yes, Evil is the Ex-Villains Improvement League, which is the support group that Robert and other reformed supervillains go to kind of keep them on the straight and narrow. And there Vi meets this kind of host of reformed supervillains who are trying to go straight and renounce their wicked ways. But they are finding it, you know, difficult to different degrees.
When I finished the book, I don't want to ruin too much for the listeners, but I felt a bit like it was a kind of superhero origin story, like the kind of story you hear before the rest of the big stuff kicks off as well. So I'm glad you've got two more books in the works.
There are two more books coming, yes, indeedy. Yes, there will be two more. You will see, hopefully Vi will get her way to Ribbington Hall, but life will not be straightforward for her. She's still got her parents to sort out, and she's still trying to prove that she can be a spy, and she's still trying to save the world from Umbra. So it takes three books, frankly, Bex, to fit it all in. So thank goodness I got a bit more space and run out of pages.
I can imagine. And also, I need to just give a little shout out to Russell and George, who I just thought were such lovely characters. And so nice that George, for example, like, eventually Vi sees that he's just a nice guy and makes her mum super happy.
Exactly. And I love George. He's like, he's just a warm cuddle, and he can't help himself but intersperse everything he says with little facts about, you know, he's very literal, and he tells you all this sort of lovely information. And Vi starts to realize that actually being exciting and dynamic and, you know, and thrilling, like my book is, comes with other sides to it. And actually someone you can really depend on who's always there for you. And it's just their role in life to be a really good person. Actually, she comes to value that a lot more as the book goes on.
I've decided every month they're going to have a Fun Kids Book of the Month this year. So yeah, I can happily say that this is my Book of the Month for February. I think Vice Fire was the best one.
Very odd bringing a book out in lockdown, because normally I'd go round and I'd go to schools, I'd go to festivals, I'd go to bookshops. I'm just sort of sitting on my bum in the front room, kind of going, I wrote a book, everybody. Do anyone want to read my book? It's really good. It's thrilling and family and funny. And yeah, so that I thank you so much. What an honour. I'm absolutely thrilled. Thank you,
I am,
Bex.
My pleasure. I'm thrilled by it. It's so nice to see such a lovely book come out in the middle of this quite tricky time. And it's just fun, and it's something you can really escape into. And also, it's just a really great book. And I just was like, yeah, we got to get this as the Book of the Month for Feb, definitely.
Oh, you're very kind. And I think it's a funny thing being a comedy writer, because sometimes as a comedy writer, you kind of feel, oh, you know, there's a lot of really serious books out there that deal with really important, you know, big issues that are facing the world. And the world's in this, you know, extraordinary time at the moment. But I do think there's also a place, and I hope the book does deal with issues that are important to people. You know, it is about family. And my own family went through a divorce 3 years ago when my then husband and I got divorced. And even though, like, we're super best mates, you know, it was very difficult on my three children, and a lot of children will have been through or will be going through divorce. And I want them to know it's okay. It gets better. I promise it gets better. Time is a great healer for all of these things. But more importantly than that, I just want to give people a laugh, Bex. You know, we all need a bit of a laugh at the moment, don't we? And if I can put a few smiles with a few well-placed farty gags in someone's life, I say gags, I will not come fart in someone's life. That would not be appropriate and not what anybody needs right now, just ask my kids, then that's wonderful. So thank you for helping me to do that.
Oh, no problem. And before I let you go, I'm going to ask a little special kind of Easter egg for Fun Kids listeners. Is there something that we should look out for in the book that you love, or maybe a joke or a phrase or a name that you think is really funny that you want our listeners to look out for when they read it?
Oh, there's quite a few little things, actually. One of my favourite characters is Siren, who's one of the evils. And she has all sorts of you know, bless her, biological issues going on as the book goes through. And she's quite keen to tell everybody. But sometimes it's the little things that make you laugh the most. And we talked about Silver Service earlier, that the over 70s division of the spy secret service. And they have their own internet, which they say they need something that's top secret and, you know, high speed and large font. And the secret service's internet is called Cobweb. And that just came to me one day, and I don't know why, it just made me laugh my head off. I just thought, I love it. Cobweb, an internet for the over 70s. And yeah, it's the little things that please little minds like mine, Bex. But I hope people enjoy the Cobweb.
No, I love it. I'm sure they will. Honestly, Maz, it's such a great book. Thank you so much for bringing Vi Spy to us. And I look forward to maybe seeing you in person for the second or third one, maybe, perhaps.
I really hope so. I've got another book coming out later this year as well. So maybe if we're all around and about, I might see you then. But thank you so, so much. And keep bringing the fun to kids, Fun Kids. We love you.
Now, I was very excited to give Maz my Fun Kids Book of the Month award because it's such a funny adventure book. I loved it so much. Not only does she include lots of lovely stories about real life, also she has lots of big adventures about superheroes and supervillains as well. Also, it's one of those books I reckon you can read over and over again and still find amazing funny jokes. Next up, speaking of funny people, we've got Natlet Seema right now. She is super fun and has perfected the art of the funny novel in her brand new book, Opie Jones. I am joined right now down the line by Natlet Seema, amazing author and person I actually know in real life. Hey, Nat.
In real life, Bex, remember that? We could see each other's faces.
I remember it from so long ago, but it's really nice to actually chat to a friend who's written a book because that very rarely happens on Fun Kids.
You're making it sound like your friends are really lazy. Like, seriously, guys, get a move on. Write some books.
Be more like Nat. Now, you've written an amazing book. You've written Opie Jones Talks to Animals. And it is a wonderful book. I read it quite speedily, actually, because it was just so fun to read. Can you tell us about your hero, Opie?
Yes, Opie Jones is, she's 10 years old. She's quite quiet and shy and sensible, and she's not like your classic superhero. But then she's not your classic superhero, because when she discovers she has a super skill, it turns out to be something a little bit less glamorous than she thought. She thought she was a mind reader, and she was going to join this gang of mind readers called the Resistance. But in fact, she's an animal mind reader, so there is a bit more chatting to earwigs. So, but you know, life never works out as you plan.
She discovers she has this quite incredible talent that at first, you know, that the people who are the Resistance, the big superheroes, they're a bit sniffy about it. But actually, it's quite a useful skill to have, right?
Yeah, right. I think it really comes into its own, and she feels very quietly smug when they come round to appreciating her.
Now, the thing with Opie is you've got this big story of her, you know, not like other kids, becoming a bit of a special kind of chosen one almost, but you've also got just day-to-day kind of school life with Jackson and Killian and just the friends that she's trying to make.
Yes, and Killian isn't all bad, really. He can be very spiky, but I think a little later in the book you realise why he is being spiky. And I think that that is a message through the book, really, which is like putting yourself in other people's shoes and thinking about how other people think and feel. Which I think fits Opie quite well, because she's a very thoughtful person and she can read animal minds.
She can. One of the things I loved about this is partly biased because I know you, but first of all, it's really funny. Like, it is just a really genuinely funny book.
Oh,
but
also, good. I could, that was the aim.
Well, yeah, no, it's great, but I can imagine, I read it kind of in your voice a little bit, and especially the animals. Now, between every chapter, you've got different animals who pop up and do a kind of piece to camera almost, like a little monologue. Can you tell us about those animals?
When I started it, I scattered a couple through, and the editor was like, I love these, have one in every chapter. And as I was heading for chapter 32, I was a bit like, oh dear, this is so many animals. But I would sometimes just go out and be looking around and being like, animal, animal, animal. What's an animal? A worm. Great. I just loved the idea of just being able to like listen to an animal chat to you for a little while. And also because Opie is quite a sensible, serious person, but I really love to have a lot of comedy in the book. And actually, I think a lot of the comedy comes from the animals around her, and Opie can stay focused and on target because she's sensible like that.
Yeah, she's not attacked by a lot of animals, but she's got a lot of animals vying for her attention, should we say, especially birds.
Yes. Especially birds. She just seems to have an affinity with birds. Now I think about it, that might be because I've written this book sort of mainly in quite high up flats where I'm looking out the window and seeing birds.
Well, I was... So my uncle keeps pigeons, weirdly, and he races them. So when I was reading your pigeon conversations, I was like, that's what they're saying. Interesting.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Good to know.
I mean, pigeons obviously are London Cockneys. No two ways around it. And seagulls are a little bit feisty. And, you know, some things are just obvious. And then some animals, you have to have a think about what their personality might be like.
Well, I was surprised you made horses so aggressive.
I do not like horses, Bex.
Is that why?
Sorry, this is a controversial opinion, yes. When I was younger, I really wanted horse riding lessons, and my parents like didn't have a lot of money, but in a mad moment signed me up for like 10 horse riding lessons and paid up front. And I went for my first lesson and I was like, oh, I don't like this in any way at all. They're really big and hoofy and they kick and I don't like it. And my parents were like, well, tough buttercup, you've got 9 weeks of this. And every Friday I would see it coming, just like Saturday was coming around the corner. I was like, oh no, when will it be Sunday? When will the horse bit be over?
And that has influenced in Opie Jones, because I did read it and I was like, she's really not happy with this horse.
No, we don't like horses. I mean, I didn't think they liked me either. It's fine. We go our separate ways. We barely bump into each other at parties. It's fine.
Yeah. You're not in each other's social circles. That's okay.
That's it. That's absolutely fine. There's no real animosity there, but they're very big. I mean, don't get me wrong. Obviously, a miniature horse, a little Shetland pony. Yes, fine. We can be friends. But a really big one, I'm quite scared.
There's also, speaking of things that are scary, you've got quite a big old villain in this one as well.
Yes. Yeah, I wanted a proper baddie. And in fact, I gave him a sidekick baddie as well because, you know, good to have a lot of evil swirling around the place.
It was, I'll tell you one thing that I was very surprised at with this book, and I don't want to ruin it, so I'm going to try and be very delicate, is your ending is so you really do leave that cliffhanger there as to what's going to happen next.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wouldn't have done that unless I knew I was definitely going to write a second book, because that would be really unfair to leave people on a cliffhanger and then be like, OK, guys, bye. And my readers would be like, sorry, what? Now what?
You leave it on a lovely note, but also a note when I was like, what? What? And I was like flicking through the pages. But then, on the plus side, you did include a quiz at the back of the book.
Yes, I did. I thought that was quite important to, know yourself a bit better.
It is. Now, I did the quiz just totally without looking at the answers. And I absolutely got that I'm a dog, like 100%. And I thought it
I think that's a very
sense.
Pleasant thing to be.
Yeah, I'm looking through the answer. Like, for which answer was it? Where is your favourite place to sleep? A soft bed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I quite enjoyed, what's your favourite food? All food makes me happy. Thank you. And then afterwards I was like, oh, that makes sense. Well, what animal are you? Did you do this quiz because you had an animal in mind for yourself?
Yeah, I think I probably came out as an II. I'm quite stressful to live with.
What is an II? I was going to ask you.
It's like a really big-eyed animal in Thailand that like leaps around the place and is a bit erratic. My brother lives in Thailand, so whenever I go out to visit him, I'm always like, what's that wandering by? Like, even in Thailand, chickens have very long legs, and you think that would be fine. And then a chicken wanders by, and you see it out the corner of your eye, but you're like, that's way higher than a chicken should be.
I've got to say, birds do freak me out a little bit, because if you get too close to them, you're like, you're just a little dinosaur. This seems really weird.
Yes, it's very true, isn't it? Yeah. Once you know that birds are descended from dinosaurs, you're like, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, you can't unsee it. Now, with this book, I'm imagining obviously a lot of bookshops are closed right now, but independent bookshops are still doing stuff online, and lots of places online are still selling books, which is great. When our listeners read it, because I'm sure they will, can you tell me one thing that they should look out for in the book, or something that made you laugh, or something that you're particularly proud of?
Oh, that's nice. I think it is that a worm plays a surprisingly heroic role in the book.
Good thing to look out for. Love that. Now, with every author who comes to Fun Kids, we do a little quick fire round of questions, if that's okay with you.
Yeah. Just to I'll be honest, in lockdown, I think I've gone slightly mad, so some of these answers might be surprising to all of us.
So, right, you do you. There's no judgment here. Don't worry about it.
Great. Thanks, Bex. Just clearing that.
Yeah, no problem. First one is pretty easy. Books or Kindles?
Books. Always books. I like the smell.
Yeah, most authors say that. Heroes or villains?
Villains are more interesting.
Ooh, I didn't think you were going to say that. Guinea pigs or cats?
Ooh. Guinea pigs, guinea pigs, they do bring a bit more to the party.
I did enjoy your guinea pig character in the book, I have to say.
Malcolm.
That is so good. Film adaptation or TV adaptation?
Film adaptation.
Writing or reading?
Writing.
Mm. Killian or Jackson?
Killian.
Hogwarts or Narnia?
Oh, I think Hogwarts. It's too cold in Narnia.
Cool. I've never had that answer before. Laptop or write by hand?
Laptop. I can't write by hand anymore. It's just a skill that's lost me.
Yeah, me too. Write 9 to 5 or do you write whenever you fancy?
Whenever I fancy. So annoying to live with.
Oh. Paddington Bear or Winnie the Pooh?
Oh no. That's like brother or parent. Paddington,
okay. That's the answer I would give. Writing films or writing books?
I find writing films so much easier. But then when you've written a book, you can hold it and you can't hold a film. I'm going to say books.
Okay, we're on brand for this interview, so very good.
Yeah, right.
Finally, the last and most important one is salt and vinegar or cheese and onion?
Salt and vinegar, of course.
Yes, Nat!
Yes!
You could say anything for any of the answers. That's the one I wanted to hear. Salt and vinegar.
Oh, no, cheese and onion, it's just a bit much, isn't it? It makes the roof of my mouth itch.
Yes, thank you. Finally, yes, I agree.
Finally. Yes, someone's saying what we've all been thinking.
Oh, we also need to get a reading from Maz as well. So here's a little excerpt from her brand new book, Vice Spy.
Hi, Maz Evans here, author of Who Let the Gods Out? And now my new book,
Vi Spy, License to Chill. Vi Spy is the story of 11-year-old Valentine Day, who finds herself caught between her divorcing parents, a mother who's a retired spy, and a father who's a retired supervillain. So it's pretty tough to be Vi. Whilst all this is going on, while she's fighting battles at home, she's also trying to prove to the world that she too can be a brilliant spy and save the world from the dark forces of Umbra, the evil supervillain who's trying to control the minds of everybody in the world. I would love to read for you the very first bit of my book to give you a little taste of Vi Spy, License to Chill. And the first chapter I have very imaginatively called Chapter 1. Spies are rubbish at keeping secrets. Not your big, it's a matter of state security secrets. Obviously, they have to be good with those. After all, they wouldn't be much of a spy if they posted a selfie on Twitter while parachuting into a top secret enemy lair. Hashtag, it's under the volcano. No, the big stuff is safe. You have to protect the code to the Prime Minister's chocolate safe. Go ahead and tell a spy. You need to hide the world's first laser-guided intercontinental water pistol. A spy will know just the place. You've discovered that brain-sucking aliens are invading Surbiton? A spy will take that information to their grave. And, hopefully, to Surbiton. But personal secrets? Forget it. If you're organising a surprise party, say nothing to a spy. There will be undiscovered species in the Amazonian rainforests will turn up on Tuesday with sausages on sticks. You mustn't tell a spy your suspicions about the lady from the corner shop. There'll be a SWAT team trained on her pick and mix before you can say, Mona Brown! And don't ever ask a spy to keep that funny thing about your mum quiet. Imagine mum's face when she sees her pink leopard print knickers on the 6 o'clock news. It's true. Spies are rubbish with secrets. And no one knew this better than Valentine Day. Valentine's mum was a spy. Valentine knew this because, like all spies, her mum was rubbish at keeping it a secret. There was the time her mum got Arthur Tilsley's dad arrested at the PTA casino night because she was convinced he was concealing dynamite in a bin. It was actually his wife's disgusting sausage rolls. All the time she trained next door's dog to sniff out explosives. And it attacked Fred the postman for delivering sparklers to number 12's bonfire party. All the time she abseiled from the top of the supermarket multi-story to catch the last post. Which was actually incredibly cool. Yes. Valentine was convinced her mum was a spy, and on an unremarkable Friday in her unremarkable home in her unremarkable town, Valentine Day was determined to prove it.
That's pretty much it from the Fun Kids Bookworms podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you've got a recommendation for a book I should read or an author you'd like me to interview, tell me all about it. Drop me a line at funkidslive.com or leave a little comment in the review section of wherever it is you get your podcasts. While you're there, if you fancy leaving a 5-star little review as well, that'd be quite nice. Thanks. I'll see you again super duper soon. Bye.